Chapter 42. At the back of Nia's mind, a voice was trying to make itself heard. Calm down. This is just a stupid doll. They are trying to frighten you because you are nearly at the truth. Nia went upstairs and found her notes. The fossil with the red wax on it, the candle, and the postcard. Finally, she grabbed the voodoo doll. She laid everything in front of her on the coffee table and sat back. She had all these clues, all this information. Now all she had to do was knit them together in the right way. She decided to start back with Ruby. Ruby, who knew everyone's secrets. Ruby, who cared about the truth. Nia's eyes wandered to the voodoo doll, and she picked it up. She looked at the face, coldly, objectively now. It was the same face as the one on Ruby's voodoo doll, and she was sure the same person had carved them both. She stared at the face. It was a mean, cruel face. The person who carved this had done it with hate. She closed her eyes. Like a kaleidoscope, ideas and pictures appeared, and the pieces started to make a pattern. The postcard, the candle, the funeral, Joe running in the rain without an umbrella, Lucy's perfume, Hugo's death. The funeral. But all the time she was trying to think, Nia was aware that something was dragging her back to the voodoo doll. It was as if she couldn't let go. Her gaze was fixed on the eyes. They seemed to glare at her, burn hate into her. Nia knew then she had to get the thing out of her house. She ran upstairs, threw on trousers and a jumper. Before she left the bedroom, she opened the curtains and left the light on. She ran back down and put on her coat, grabbed a bag. Into it, she threw a small towel, her aunt's torch that had been sitting unused on the side, the candle, the voodoo doll, and some matches. Romeo had been following her, watching her, so she knelt down and cuddled him. "I'm sorry, you can't come with me. You'll be safer here." She gave him a handful of dog biscuits and left him munching happily. Nia stepped outside and looked around the close. The rain had stopped. Everything was still. The houses were in darkness, giving the impression that everyone had gone to bed, but she knew that was an illusion. In the last hour, one person had left their house, posted the voodoo doll through her letterbox, and she felt sure they must be awake. They'd have seen her lights being switched on. No, she'd seen the voodoo doll. Were they enjoying thinking about how frightened she might be? Nia looked around. They would be watching her now, watching to see what she would do next. Nia turned away and walked quickly out of the close just as the church clock struck two. She headed for the steps beside the entrance to the pier, leading down to the beach. At the far end, she saw the light shining, but she couldn't make out any fishermen tonight. She was alone. The pebbles on the beach were wet under her feet, but she didn't care. She took off her shoes and socks, and using the torch, she carried the voodoo doll down to the water. Through the darkness, she could see the white, foamy tips of a troubled sea, but it didn't distract her. The sea could have this monster. The sea was big enough to swallow it whole, to make it disappear forever. Were they enjoying thinking about how frightened she might be? Nia looked around. They would be watching her now, watching to see what she would do next. Nia turned away and walked quickly out of the close just as the church clock struck two. She headed for the steps beside the entrance to the pier, leading down to the beach. At the far end, she saw the light shining, but she couldn't make out any fishermen tonight. She was alone. The pebbles on the beach were wet under her feet, but she didn't care. She took off her shoes and socks, and using the torch, she carried the voodoo doll down to the water. Through the darkness, she could see the white, foamy tips of a troubled sea, but it didn't distract her. The sea could have this monster. The sea was big enough to swallow it whole, to make it disappear forever. She threw the doll as far out as she could, but she was battling the wind and the incoming tide. It didn't go far, but she saw a wave tumble over it, and heard the sound of the sea sucking out the shingle, dragging the voodoo doll far out to sea. But just as she was about to go back up the beach, she saw it again, wet, bedraggled, but still in one piece. The sea was returning it. She picked it up. What did the sea want to tell her? Slowly she made her way back up the beach and huddled on the towel further down from where Ruby had sat. She lit the candle. It wasn't easy, but once it was burning, it seemed to take hold. Should she burn the voodoo doll? Then she remembered Ruby's words. The trouble is, the voodoo doll may have gone, but the hate remains. It was that hatred that Ruby believed was behind all of this. Nia went through the people in the close. All had their secrets. All were frightened of their secrets coming out. But who had hatred in their heart? Nia picked up the voodoo doll the sea had returned to her. What was she meant to be seeing? She held it close to the flame, looked into its eyes. As horrible as they were, why did they look so familiar? She stared at them. And then suddenly she saw it. She knew who had created this voodoo doll, who had killed Ruby and Hugo.
Not a good time to be down here on your own, is it? Anything could happen to you. There's no one else here, not even fishermen tonight.
Nia looked up at the tall figure looming over her. She felt very small and vulnerable. She tried to stand up, but the man pushed her down. She started to struggle to get up, then realized he had a syringe. Before she could move, he held it against her neck, the needle resting on the skin, not yet breaking the surface. She froze, too petrified to move.
I can do it in your neck, but I promise you, you'd prefer the injection in your arm.
He gave a nasty smile.
It's so tragic, another death on the beach, another overdose. This time, an unstable woman whose marriage was falling apart with a history of drinking.
But not drugs. Her voice cracked as she spoke.
Ah, but they will find enough back at your house to convince them you've hidden it well. Look, I've got this ready as well. Do you want to read your final words?
He threw the letter down to her. She opened it and read. I couldn't go on. I'm so sorry. I've accused good people of terrible things. It was all in my head. It's better for everyone that I go this way. He leant down and snatched the letter from her.
I don't want that to get wet. I'll tuck that safely in your bag when I've dealt with you.
I worked it out, you know, and if I have, others will. You can't kill everyone. His mouth twisted into a horrible snarl. His eyes glinted cruelly. He bore a terrible likeness to the face on the voodoo doll and to his father. Richie slumped down next to her, but he kept the syringe against her neck. Could this be her chance? Throw the candle at him and get away? But she doubted she could do it before he thrust the needle into her skin. His face was close to hers now, his eyes burning with anger.
I don't believe you. I've been watching you floundering around. You're just guessing.
She swallowed hard and answered. I admit it took time. I had to start by trusting myself, believing what I'd seen on the beach. Once I'd done that, and I was sure someone had killed Ruby, it was clear that that person had to live in the close.
You may have got that far, but after that you were lost.
Not quite. I had to keep digging, keep looking. I've suspected everyone at one stage. You all had reasons to want to silence Ruby, but the others were all missing one thing. None of them had hate in their heart.
He glared at her. What do you expect? I've been angry since I was a child.
Maybe your upbringing excuses some things, but you've made choices to let that anger stagnate inside you and poison you. I think you have been very angry for a long time that you were dependent on your father, a man you hate, to fund the gallery. But you knew it was the only way you would ever get established. Then one day, you and Ruby were offered a way to be free from him. Ruby was left a large sum of money by her mother. This was your chance to pay off your father to be free. Richie nodded.
It was like a miracle. You have to understand how awful it was to be tied to him.
Yes, I can understand that at least. I met him. I could see instantly that he is a cold, cruel, unfeeling man who has no respect for what you're doing.
Exactly. You do see that. You can see why I hate him.
I see it, yes. I saw it in that portrait in the bungalow. It's him, isn't it?
Richie smirked. It was worth every penny to have somewhere I could go and paint that. Every time I add another layer of hate to him.
You're obsessed with him, aren't you? Instead of distancing yourself from him, you let him possess you. He started to come out in your work. I saw it in the voodoo dolls. The face. It's him, isn't it? Richie looked down at the voodoo doll lying next to the candle. He stared at it, loosened his grip on the needle.
I hadn't noticed that. I had no idea my father had got into my head like that. I'd no idea I was carving him.
Suddenly he seemed to come to himself and flipped a hand at the voodoo doll.
This is all rubbish, though, isn't it? I can't believe it bothered you. It was Elvira who made me think of them when we were collecting bits for her wedding bags. She'd seen something on social media about them. I thought it would be fun.
Fun? You thought it would be fun to send one to Ruby and then to me?
It was. I found the whole thing very satisfying. Collecting the wood, carving the face, using the blue silk material from Lucy's display. A nice bit of misdirection, I thought. But I did it all properly. I followed all the instructions for the curse. There's something satisfying about ritual, isn't there? Made me feel powerful. And then there is the curse itself. You know, I actively tried to summon up as much hate as I could.
The hate you then felt for Ruby?
I used to love her, you know. She was so different from my father. Gentle, kind, so I thought. What I'd not factored in was the fanatical side to her. It's her fault, all of this, you know. If she hadn't been stupid and given that money away, she'd still be alive.
But you didn't kill her then?
No, but I was so angry and I made these other plans. If she'd kept out of it.
But she didn't. The night she gave me a lift to the red jet, she followed you and saw the bungalow. She saw his eyes shift. He looked away.
It was ridiculous to get so upset. I told her I wasn't having an affair, and yet she went on and on about telling lies, demanded I give up the bungalow. You have to see how unreasonable she was.
But that wasn't what she was so angry about, was it? She used words like betrayal to me. The truth is, she knew exactly what you were doing at the bungalow, and it was nothing to do with finding your own style.
I don't know what you mean.
I mean, Ruby went into the bungalow that night.
No,
yes, she did. It was her umbrella hanging up in the hallway. You hate them, like Joe. I should have noticed that at the time. She came in, went upstairs and into your studio, and she saw, as I should have, exactly what was going on in there. He sneered at her.
Oh, yes, and what was that?
You were forging paintings. The old frames, the assortment of styles. That should have told me. You are so talented, and you realised there was money to be made. My guess is that you went for smaller names. You weren't trying to make millions. No, smaller names, selling on eBay, with a carefully hidden clause saying you are selling it as attributed to the artist rather than by the artist.
You know a lot about this.
I know what to look for. When I was buying my daughter an original print online, I looked very carefully into provenance because I know it's very easy to get scammed. In fact, it was a postcard from her that set me thinking.
I may have the talent to produce the work, but I've no idea how to set anything like that up.
Maybe you didn't, but Hugo did. He was involved in so many dodgy schemes. He would know how to post forged paintings on the web, and that is what Ruby worked out. She threatened to tell your father, maybe even go to the police, and so Ruby had to die.
She would have done exactly that. She had no mercy. She'd pushed me into all this. She made me do it. It was all her fault.
You always blame everyone else, don't you? You could have walked away from your father and that gallery any time. Ruby would have stood by you. But the reason you stayed was greed. The reason you were forging paintings, something that must have gone against everything you thought you stood for, you did that because of greed. You are the only one to blame for all of this, Richie, no one else.
You're wrong. None of this is my fault. You know, you may think you are clever working things out, but you have no proof at all.
Well, let me think. Nia looked out to sea. You have no alibi now for the night Ruby died.
I told you my car was over there. I took the photo of the picture.
But you ride a bike. You could have taken that over with you, and the photo was taken late, well after you'd had time to kill Ruby.
Richie looked around, seemed once more to be lost in thought.
It shouldn't have been that easy, should it? I was up there watching you, waiting for you to go. Then I came down. Ruby thought we'd made up, sharing a drink together. I did hold her while she died, you know. After that, I cleared away the dregs of red candle and lit the green one I'd taken from the cafe. Then I took the ring and sealed the letter. I nearly put the ring back on her finger, but it seemed a waste. Typically, my father had spent a fortune on her in a way he'd never done on me. But no one saw me. You have no proof.
If you'd left it at that, maybe you'd have got away with it. But of course, when Ian started being vague about the alibi, you panicked. It was stupid. All that business in the pawnbrokers, all to try and set up Ian or Lucy. There'll be CCTV. Then there's the charity shops where I guessed you bought the clothes. And of course, you were seen killing Hugo. For the first time, she saw alarm in his eyes.
What do you mean?
You'd stopped thinking straight, hadn't you? Hugo knew too much about you, the art forgery. I guess he supplied you with the ketamine to kill Ruby, and all you could think was that he needed to die.
It was dark, no one could swear to what they saw, and anyway,
you could kill them as well? It doesn't ever come to an end, does it? Killing, hating. Is that all you can think about?
A wave crashed onto the stones. Richie crept closer to her.
Enough. Roll up your sleeve. No more talking.
Nia looked down the beach. With the tide coming in, the sea was very close to them now.
If you kill me here, the sea will take me.
I know. We're further down the beach than Ruby was. It's handy. No one will find you for days. Maybe you will be lost forever.
Nia heard a scrunching on the shingle behind her.
That's not going to happen.
Jade came and stood in front of them. It's over, Richie. The police are on their way. It's finished. Let Nia go.
Nia froze.
Richie was still holding the syringe to her neck. He could easily plunge it in. However, she felt the pressure of the needle ease on her throat. He pulled away, but then, without warning, he plunged the needle into his own neck. The moon crept from behind the clouds and flooded the beach in light. For a second, even the sea seemed to still. Nia started to shake uncontrollably. Her teeth chattered. She felt Jade's arms around her.
It's over. Shush now.
You came,
Nia whispered.
It took me a while to wake up and see the light on in your room, but as soon as I did, I knew something was up.
Nia heard the ambulance, saw the blue lights flashing, saw the paramedics hurtling onto the beach. It was a long, cold night. First at the hospital, then at the police station, but eventually Nia was allowed home. She'd given the house keys to Jade to enable her to look after Romeo, and so Nia messaged Jade when she knew she was returning home. Jade and Romeo were on the doorstep waiting for her when she arrived home. Romeo jumped up at her and she cuddled him.
Are you okay? You must be shattered, said Jade.
I am. But please come and have a coffee and a slice of cake. I want to tell you everything that's happened.